This week is Parashas Pinchas, Shabbos Mevorchim, Mevorchim Chodesh Menachem Av. Yeah, this week, Shabbos Mevorchim. I think Friday? Okay. Okay, so first thing is that this Shabbos Parashas Pinchas typically in a regular year is the first Shabbos of the Bein HaMetzorim. It's the first week where we read the haftorahs that are called the Gimel de Paronusa, the three haftorahs of punishment. And we have an advantage because we learned the haftorah. We learned the haftorah not that long ago, the first parak of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is the mechaber of Megillas Eicha. Yirmiyahu was the Navi that lived in the time of the Churban and guided Klal Yisrael through the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And you know, there's a bit of nechama in that, as it actually says in the Haftarah, is Hashem says to Yirmiyah, I've created you, in the reading of the Sefer, from the Beten. I've created you, you have to turn to the Haftarah, see, it's not, the Haftarah is not, Hoya Dvar Hashem Elav, V'terem etzorcha v'abetem yidaticha u'v'terem teitzim erechem hikdashticha navi lagoyim nisaticha. Rashi there says lagoyim means I've made you a navi for Klal Yisrael. And what's really the bigger picture of things that we begin the Bein HaMetzorim, when we're coming to the Churban that's going to come 3 weeks from now, at the end of 3 weeks, basically in the Haftorah Hashem is saying I'm creating the Refuah Koidem the Makkah. That's a very big Nechama. Even though these are not the Haftaris of Nechama, the Haftaris of Nechama are the Shivud and Nechemta, which come after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But yet, as we begin the Bein HaMetzorim, the first thing we learn about is the birth of Yirmiyahu. And we learn that Yirmiyahu, it wasn't just an accident that he came into existence. His very existence was planned from time immemorial. Before you were conceived, I already had you in mind. Before you were born, you already were prepared. You're going to be a prophet for my people. They are going to need a leader to guide them through the tzara that is going to come at this point in time. So we do have a bit of nechama as we enter into the Bein HaMetzorim. Obviously, being that Parshas Pinchas, the first parsha of the Bein HaMetzorim, there are many references, there are many remazim, things in this parsha which lead us into putting us in a proper frame of mind to prepare for the Bein HaMetzorim. For example, this is a classic example. The pasuk begins Lachain Emar, Hineni Nosein Loi Es Brisi Shalom. Hashem says to Pinchas, in reward for your good deed of your kanos, your act of kanos, the kanos kinasi by killing Cosby and killing these two people to stop this terrible act, you're going to receive the bris of peace. So the Baal HaTurim mentions that there are only two psukim in the entire Chamishei Chumshei Torah that begin, that have the expression Lochein. One is over here, Lochein Emar Hini Nosein Lo Yisperisi Shalom, the peace of the covenant of peace, and the other is in the beginning of Parshas Vo'era. Parshas Vo'era Perek Vav Pasuk Vav Lochein Emar Levnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, and we have the Dalet L'Shoinoi Sov Geula V'Yotzeisi Eschem Mitachas Elos Mitzrayim V'Yitzalti Eschem Mi'Avodasam V'Goalti Eschem Bizroi Netuya V'Shvatim Gedolim V'Lokachti Eschem. And then even the fifth Lashon V'Hedeisi Eschem El Ha'aretz. What is the significance? Well, we know that what happened in Mitzrayim was a template for the Geula Ha'asida. That's the Davar Pashut. The four Lashonis, 4/5 Lashonis of Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim was for shadowing the ultimate geula v'yotzeis v'yitzalti v'goalti v'lokachti. And here, in this week's parasha, as we open up, we enter into the Bein HaMetzorim, we have also a pasuk that begins in the same fashion, lochein. And what is the emphasis? Peace. Shalom. Chazal tell us why was the bayis sheni chorav? Because of sinas chinam, a lack of shalom. And therefore it's telling us, if you want to be zoiche to v'yotzeisi, v'yitzalti, v'goalti, v'lokachti, v'heveisi, if you want to be zoiche to that lochein, Ein. Now when you come into the Bein HaMetzarim, you have to excel. You have to be Mahader in the other Lochein. The other Lochein is the Bris of Shalom. Godol HaShalom. There are so many Amari Chazal that tell us the greatness of peace, but that is critical to here to be Shalom, to take away any form of Sinas Chinah. Okay, whatever Lochein means, it's a nice Gezerah Shava. It's only two places, and it's a very powerful. Shalom is what's going to bring the Lashonis of Geula, and how much more so is it significant in that this Lochein appears in the opening week of the Bein HaMetzarim. And there's another popular idea. We open up the Bein HaMetzarim connecting with Parshas Pinchas, and that is because in Parshas Pinchas we have all of the Moadim. Okay, it's a crash course on the Jewish year. Parshas Pinchas, all the Korbanos, the Tamid, every single day. Then we have Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and all the Moadim. Why is it significant that we have all of the Moadim in Parshas Pinchas when we enter into the Bein HaMetzarim? The answer is because throughout the year, How many days are holy days throughout the year? 21. Let's do the math. There are different ways to do the math, different ways to make the calculation, but I'm not too good with numbers, so you'll help me. We have 8 days of Sukkos. Okay? And we have 7 days of Pesach. So that takes us to 15. We have 1 day of, I'm skipping around, 1 day of Yom Kippur, okay, 1 day of Shavuos, okay, that's 16. 1 day of Yom Kippur,
17.
Okay, 17. We have one, what?
Rosh Hashanah, 2 days. Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. So what did you say? You said 2 days. Okay, 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Why 2 days? Because even in Eretz Yisrael there are 2 days. That's a little bit of a stretch. That's a bit of a stretch because it's only really Minat Torah, it's only 1 day. But the truth is, the sources that actually bring out this idea, I saw this in Shvili Pinchas. He quotes sources that say Rosh Hashanah is exactly 2 days. That's 19. And what else do we have? We have Shabbos. Now, even though there are 54 Shabbosos, but we're not looking to count everything. We're looking at the concept. Shabbos is a day. Shabbos is a concept. And Rosh Chodesh is a concept. So when you calculate all of the special days of the year, there are exactly 21, 19, 20, 21. There are 21 days of the year. The Bein HaMetzarim are 21 days. 3 weeks. 7 times 3 is 21. There are 3 weeks. The truth is really 22 days. 22 days. Because when you count Tisha B'Av and you count, okay, so it's true. So that's a discussion. But we don't count Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av is going to be the Yom Tov itself. Because the day of Tisha B'Av already is the Geula. So there are different ways to make the calculation. Some indeed say 22 days and some say 21 days. But in this calculation, for the moment, we'll just say there are 21 days. The Bein HaMetzarim begins with Shavuos B'Tamuz and it concludes on the 8th day of Av. Because the 9th day of Av already is going to be the day when Mashiach is coming. When Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, there are 21 days. So here, the Pasuk of here is coming to give us Nechama. As we enter into the Bein HaMetzarim, the 21 days of tragedy, you should know, don't get stuck in the mud. Don't get stuck in the quicksand, because you have, corresponding to these 21 days of Tzar, 21 days of Simcha. There are 21 days presented here in the Parsha. Now, if you're going to ask me, it's not really 21 days, it's really 20 days, because that answer of 22, of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is not very satisfying. I agree with you 100%. And therefore, I feel what Shvili Pinchas, what he really means to say is, the 21th day is the Tamid that we bring every single day. The 21st day is the Korbanos, the Shabbos, there's Rosh Chodesh, and all of the Moadim, which add up to 20. But there's another carbon that's critical, and that is Tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'amaret alehem es karboni lachni li'ishai reachni chachi tishmeru lahakriv li b'moado. And it's set time. What is it set time? Every single day. Every single day is another unique opportunity. eternity. So the truth is, it's exactly 21 days. There are 21 special days in the year. The Moadim, which includes Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, we only count as one of the concept. And the truth is, every single day is also one of those 21 days, because every single day is an opportunity, lahakriv, to bring a carbon, a reach nichoch laHashem b'moado in its set time. So this is another hint, another reference to the simcha, to the nechama of opening up the Bein HaMetzarim with 21 days. One more remes to that we could find in this expression reference to the Bein HaMetzarim, and that is the Chalukas HaAretz. We have here the Chavivas HaAretz Yisrael. We are after everyone is counted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to come into the land and you're going to divide up the land, and Hashem says to them exactly how you will divide the land. Let me find the pasuk. Here it is. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar Lo Eile. After we count all the numbers of the members of Klal Yisrael, Hashem says Lo Eile. According to these numbers, Techolei Kaaretz. What more could you possibly want? What greater remes can there be to the Bein HaMetzarim when it says the Nechama, the comfort that the land will be distributed among Klal Yisrael Benachla B'Mispar Shemos L'Rav Tar Benachalosoi V'Lama Tanit Nachalosoi Ish Lefit Fukudov Yuta Nachalosoi. Also, and then the pasuk goes on to say something which is very interesting. Ach, however, bigorol yecholek esaretz. The land shall be divided through a lottery. Lishmois matois avosam in cholu. In other words, it's going to be done with hashkocha pratis. It's not just going to be called the olim gvar. The stronger will prevail. Everyone will chop a piece of land. The land will be divided based upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu's will, which will be expressed through a lottery. Now, what's interesting is that the expression of Gorol begins with Ach. Ach is a positive word, which means only. But Ach also sometimes can mean Tsar, can mean a mute. For example, Vayishoer Ach Noyach. Rashi on that pasuk comments, what does it mean? Ach? Ach means Loshon Tsar. That Noach was coughing up blood in the Teva. Noach was working 24/7 for 1 year feeding the animals. And indeed, one time it was laden feeding the lion its food. The lion got angry and the lion bit him. Noach was Ach. He had a lot of tsar. We see from that a precedent that Ach can mean tsar. The pasuk here is the word Yecholek. Again, this fly is back for a third day in a row. Ach Yecholek Aretz means to divide the land, to distribute the land. But Yecholek also can mean to separate, to remove yourself. The land will be divided, it will be taken away from us. And what the pasuk here is alluding to, I believe, is what we say in the Kino of the Asara Harugi Malchus. We discussed this last week, this week on Monday. We discussed the Asara Harugi Malchus. We learned that the first two of the Asara Harugi Malchus to be killed was the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. The Melech was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and the Kohen Gadol was Rabbi Yishmael. When were they killed? According to the Medrash, they were killed on the 25th day of Sivan, which was two months and a half before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban took place on the ninth day of Av, and two and a half months before that, the Hegmon already killed the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. So that means that the Churban really began not on Tesbaav. It already began to a large degree, in one respect, with the death of the first of the Asara Harugi Malchus. How did they die? What was the first thing we learned about their death? The question was, who should go first? And each one said, let me be the first one to go. I cannot live and see Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I cannot stomach to stand and live and witness the Kohen Gadol die in front of my eyes. And the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yishmael says, no, I want to be the one who's going to die first. I cannot stand to live and witness in front of my eyes the death of the Melech. What did the Hegmon do? Yadu goyrolos. The Hegmon said, let's cast lots. Let us cast lots. And the one that was put to death first was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Melech was killed first. Obviously, if this is being recorded in the Keen of Eila Eskira on Tisha B'Av, there is significance in the fact that a lottery was cast to begin the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban is even greater. No, it's one thing to be exiled from the land, but when the people who represent the land, the people, the two leaders of Klal Yisrael are the Melech, the Nasi. Rav Shimon Gamliel was not the Melech, he was the Nasi, but the Nasi serves in the capacity as the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. These are the living, the representatives of the land. This is the life of the land. And the Churban began with their death. And how did they die? Ach begoyrol yecholek es haaretz. There's a remez here. The land was distributed. Klal Yisrael took possession of Eretz Yisrael with a goyrol, and they lost possession of Eretz Yisrael with the goyrol. Yadu goyrolos. What is the significance? Because what is a goyrol? A goyrol is Hashkocha Pratis. It's not a coincidence why one person wins, why another person loses. A goral in Chazal, in the Torah, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing His will in an unusual form of Hashkocha Pratis. Eretz Yisrael was given to Klal Yisrael with Hashkocha, and it was taken away from Klal Yisrael with Hashkocha. The same expression carries both the giving and the taking away. Ach bigorol yecholei ka'aretz. Es ha'aretz. Pshuto kimashmo. The land was distributed. Only with the goal shall the land be divided. But it can also be homiletically translated. Ach b'loshen tsar. Ach rachmona litzlon bigorol. With the same gorol yecholei ka'aretz, the land will be removed and taken away from Klal Yisrael when the Hegmon will utter those horrific words, Yadu Goyrolos. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in the beginning of the parasha the Vav Kitua. Lochein Emor, maybe we can close the door or something. We'll close the door. Thank you very much. We have over here the bris of Shalom. Lachein Emor Hirni Nosein Lo Yes Brisi Shalom. Shalom as a Vav Ketua. Okay, this is just some short little interesting ideas. There's a machloikis. There is a significant machloikis as in how to take the Vav and cut the Vav into two parts. We know that the word Shalom has a broken. There's a broken Vav. If you get an aliyah, it's kedai to look in the Sefer Torah and to see exactly how that Vav is written. The Vav of Shalom. There are three techniques that are employed to split the Vav. One technique is to have a Vav, that the Vav should go down, let's say, 80% down. The Vav is a Yud and has a long, long leg. The leg should go down, let's say, 80% or 70%, that when you look at if you were to take the part of the Vav on the bottom and you would erase it, it would not be there, and you would look at this Vav, it would be halachically a kosher Vav. But because we want there to be, it's called a Vav Ketua, the Vav should be cut, we write a Vav that's 70% complete, and then on the bottom, we put the other 25%. You have a 5% gap. On the bottom is there's 25%, but on the top we have 70%. So the Vav is a halachically kosher Vav, even when we ignore the part that is on the bottom. That's one technique. Another technique is no. The Vav has to be cut higher up. In other words, the Vav really is a Yud. If you would take away the part on the bottom, take it away entirely, or you would have the part that is the tar on the top, it would be called a Yud. You'll ask a question, how can that possibly be? But the Messiah is you have to have a Vav, not a Yud. No, this is the exception. This type of Vav, even though according to the rules of Hilchos Stam, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, and Tefillin, it's not a kosher Vav, this is the exception. The Vav should be cut right smack down the center, which means it's really it's a Yud with an extension on the bottom. A third approach, and this I've seen this in some of the newer Sefer Torah, is where you split it on an angle. Yes. On an angle, it's very hard to explain unless you actually see it. On an angle, where basically it comes out that you have two vavs. The leg is cut on an angle. So the regular vav kimat goes all the way down, and because it's split on an angle, the part that's on the bottom also kimat goes all the way up. This is a third minhag as to how to write the vav. Mm-hmm. Three different minhagim. Either it's 70% and then you cut it, or it's a yud and it's cut, or the vav is split along the vertical section of the vav. And that on an angle, so it's almost as if you have two vavs. I saw a very interesting in a sefer called Kafta Vaferach. He quotes a source, a sefer called Kafta Vaferach quotes a source and says, what's the significance, what's the point of machlokes between these three opinions? So it says that it depends on a Gemara, a Medrash, and the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Fascinating. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin says, I don't have all the details for you, but we have to travel, do a search on Pesach Chacham to find all the details. But the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin says that Pinchas experienced six miracles when he killed Cosby. When he killed Cosby, he experienced Zimri and Cosby. Zimri was the Nasi, and he killed the Isha whom Mukah Hamidyonis was Cosby, Vasur, six miracles. The Medrash says he experienced 10 miracles. If you look here in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, it says he experienced 12 miracles. And 12, the Yonasan, Targum Yonasan says 12. So we have three opinions, the Gemara, the Talmud, the Medrash, Medrash Rabbah, and Yonasan ben Uziel. The Gemara says 6, the Medrash says 10, and Yonasan ben Uziel says 12. That's the Tchafta Vaferach says, that's why there are three minhagim. The minhag that says you write a vav, and then you cut it on the bottom, what do you in essence have? You have a vav. Vav corresponds to the numerical value of 6. The Medrash that says you have a yud, the opinion that says that you have a yud, you let it come down just slightly, it's a yud on the top, and then you cut it, that's 10. Yud is yud. The numerical value of 10, that's like according to the Medrash. And the other minute, when you cut on an angle, that follows the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, there are two vavs. You slice it down the center. Vav ketua means you slice it down the vertical section. So you basically, you've taken one vav, and now you have two vavs. Vav and vav is 12. That explains that the miracles that he experienced were 12 miracles. Those are cute.
You mentioned 10. The word Pinchas is a small yud.
Pinchas is a small yud, right? Well, right, okay. That's another drasha. Why is it a small yud? Okay, let's go to another idea. No, I just did a nice machsha from the Shem Yishmuel. The opening Rashi, Pinchas ben Elzbenar HaKoyin, Lefi Shahayu, why does the pasuk here beginning open up by being Miyaches? The lineage of Pinchas. He is Ben Elazar Ben Aharon HaKoyin. So Rashi tells us the reason why. When Pinchas executed, he murdered Zimri, who was a Nasi. He was the Nasi. The Shvatim, one of the Nesim, of which Shevet, Cosby, was Shevet. Ruvain, okay. The shame is Yisrael Mukeh. Zibri ben Sul, the Sivay Sav La Shimon. Shimon, the Sivay Sav La Shimoni, La Shimoni. So Rashi says, "Lufi Shoyah Shvatim Nevazim Oso Hari Isem Ben Puti Zeh Shepitim Avi Imoy Agolim La Avodas Kechavim." Pinchas was an enikol of Yisrael from his mother's side. He was an enikol of Yisrael. And Yisro, in the good old days, when he was living in Midian, he used to go and fatten calves for Avodah Zarah. So they said, how dear this person go and kill, who is this person? He's a nothing of a nothing. He comes from Oiv the Avodah Zarah, and he goes and he kills the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, Varag Nasi Shevet Yisrael. And if you go look at the Mepharshim, it's fascinating, some of the Midrashim, as they say, he was doing holy things. Like, this is a terrible thing. People do the worst Averos, and they go say he was being misaking things in the Olamos, Nitzaitzos, he's over here having relations with a Shiksa in public. So if a Nasi is doing such holy things, it must be he's being misaking. Misaking tikkunim gedolim. What right does a lowlife have to go kill the Nasi because he thinks he's doing an Avera? Maybe he was doing a mystical mitzvah. How dare he do such a thing? This is what people said about him. And of course, they were dead wrong. What Pinchas did was 100% right. What the Nasi did was a chil Hashem. That was a terrible, terrible Avera. The Shem Yishmuel says, what is this expression that this great-grandfather was Mefatim Agolim La'avodah Zarah? The Shem Yishmuel says, nowhere do we find in Chazal, anywhere, not in Bavli, Yerushalmi, in any Medrash, there's such a thing when you bring a carbon to Hashem that you should fatten the animal. If a person goes and wants to bring a carbon to Hashem, the rules are, you go, you can bring a nice animal, an ox, it looks good. If it looks healthy, you have a choice of, can I try buy this ox? Should I buy that ox? If you want to be mahader and buy a more expensive ox, so be it. But there's no such thing as buying an animal and before you sacrifice the animal to fatten it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something that is foreign to Yadus. Once an animal is Hegdish, once the animal has been designated as Kodesh, you don't do anything. You don't fatten it to make it look Shmena when you bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even before you mak the shit, there's no such thing as doing anything artificial to an animal to prepare it to as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is what it is. And why is that so? Why is that so? It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in your korbanos. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he wants you to sacrifice your Yetzirah. He wants you to humble yourself before him. He's not interested in external things. This is something which is unique to Avodah Zarah, where it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a show. If it's all a show, there's nothing internal, there's nothing in the panemius, then in a chanami, it doesn't make a dead end. The ikar is that the animal should be fat, should be luscious. And that's why they are the ones who were mefatim agolim la'avodas kachavim. And this is what the Shem Yishmuel says, that they accused Pinchas, that Pinchas, you were just looking on the surface, that Cosby and Zimri were doing an Avera, you were not looking into the panemius of what they were doing, which was completely nonsense. We're learning over here from the criticism, we're trying to derive something, derech agav, which was nonsense. They accused him of being a person who only looked at things on the surface. Therefore, the pasuk had to come along and say that you did wrong. Pinchas is ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKoyen. He knew exactly what was going on, and he was 100% right. But what the Shem Yishmuel says that we can derive from this Rashi is that when you bring korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you do a mitzvah, when you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't be like the Oivdei Avodah Zarah Chas V'Shalom that are Mefatim Agolim La'Avodah Zarah. The concept of Pitum Agolim La'Avodah Zarah is something that is not part of Yadus. It is something that is Miyuchi to Oivdei Avodah Zarah, and that's Bedavka why they accused him here in this Rashi, referring to Pinchas. If you use this expression, you reference to Pinchas.
Descended from
Yitro.
What? He comes from Africa.
Three generations, not far. He was not that far. The mother, sorry, right. It was not a far distance, but Yisro's mother, Pinchas's mother, must have been. I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly, but it's from the mother's side.
Sipora's sister.
That's what it says. I don't know. You have to look in the Midrash, and I don't know the answer.
It says it came from Yisrael. That's why it's
more. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. There was an interesting yesoid from the Chofetz Chaim. It was a Maisa Shehoi. This is the following story. There was a person in Radin. It seems in Radin, Maskilim got into Radin. Not Maskilim, but people who were not Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, they came to Radin, and they built some type of theater. A theater or some type of park. It's not clear exactly what it was, where they were using it for immoral purposes. They were using it for dances, taruvis, anoshim, v'noshim, and the Chofetz Chaim was very angry. Chofetz Chaim was living in this time, and he was very, very disturbed with these people. What they were doing, they took over property, they purchased property, and they built some type of theater where they were doing things that he felt were not according to the standard of the community. Chofetz Chaim was very upset. At that point in time, there was a person, it's a true documented story that came to the Chofetz Chaim. It was a very hard to understand all the details of the story. Okay, he was living there in Rad, and he came crying to the Chofetz Chaim that his daughter is deathly ill. And he came to the Chofetz Chaim for a bracha, for a refuah shalem. The Chofetz Chaim says, Derech HaTeva, there's nothing we can do. If you want me to be mispalel for you that something l'mayelim, Derech HaTeva, should happen for your daughter, we need a zuchus. You need to have a special zuchus. There's something very disturbing that's happening in the community. This theater is being built by these people who are oivrei avera, and we have to put an end to it. And if you want to go and be moiser nefesh to dismantle, to take down what they're doing, to do a maisa kanos, then that will be a zuchus for you, and I can use that zuchus as a wedge, whatever this means, as a zuchus, to be an edge, to be a spalel for you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the person went, and he took the law into his own hands. Mamish Ovid in Dishdina. He went, and he went there in the middle of the night, and he took a sledgehammer, and I don't know all the exact details, and he did a maisa kanos. A maisa of zealotry. He went and he demolished with his bare hands this theater. That's what it says in the story. The police came in the middle of the night, or people came in the middle of the night. They saw what he was doing, and they said, "Stop! What are you doing? You're crazy! We're going to put you." I don't care. My daughter's life is on the line, and he, through his intensity, he overcame all of the people that tried to prevent him from doing it, and he succeeded in single-handedly demolishing this structure. I don't know all the details. That was being built in the city of Radin. And that was it. And they didn't do anything to him. They didn't put him in jail. They let him go. And for a period of time, this thing that they were building was choraf, and the problem was over. And sure enough, Chofetz Chaim was mispalel, and his daughter miraculously recovered. This is the story, okay? That's what it says in the book, so I'm not making this up. Shortly thereafter, not shortly, but sometime thereafter, these people rebuilt it, okay? That's what it didn't happen right away, but it came a period of time later on. They came back, and they rebuilt it. And it seems that in the city, the people knew about this whole story. And there was some bachurim, some young boys learning in yeshiva in Radin. And after this thing was built, they said, "Oh, Chofetz Chaim was not happy. And we know what happened with this fellow. He had a daughter that was not well, and he told him to go and take the law into his own hands and demolish it." So these bachurim, they on their own, at some point later in the future, in the middle of the night, did exactly the same thing. The police came and arrested them. They did not succeed in doing what they wanted to do anyway. They were arrested, they were put in prison, and they suffered a very severe punishment. When these Bachurim got out of prison, they went to the Chofetz Chaim and they said, "My hi, what's going on here? This fellow, whose daughter was deathly ill, you told him to go do a maisa kanos, to demolish the structure." And they came to arrest him, they came to stop him, and he beat them all up, and he succeeded, and nothing happened to him. We did the same thing and we were put in prison, my high. So the Chofetz Chaim says the fundamental difference between him and you. He was told to do it. You, no one told you to do anything. You took the law into your own hands without Das Torah, without seeking the guidance of the Chachamim. I guess the Chofetz Chaim, in all humility, he said he had the psak from me. All humility being put aside, I'm the Rav over here. He was being told what to do based upon the decision of an authority. Where you, what are you doing? A bunch of hooligans. Whoever told you to do this? Did someone go tell you to do this? If you want to go, to come speak to me. I'll tell you if I want you to do it, yes or no. What are you doing? And the Chofetz Chaim went on to say, that's the difference between Pinchas and Shimon V'Levi. Pinchas and Shimon V'Levi. There are two stories in the Torah where people took the law into their own hands. Pinchas, in our parasha, took the law into his own hands. He went and he killed Zimri and Cosby. And what was the reward? The reward was V'nasati le'brisi sholayim. The reward was children. Loi ulezar acharav. The war. All these rewards. There are many rewards in the pasuk. What about Shimon V'Levi? When Dina was taken by Shechem, Shimon V'Levi went and they torched the whole city. They wiped out the whole city. And what was their reward? The reward was when Yaakov went and gave the brachas to all of the Shiftei Kah, Shimon and Levi did not get a bracha. The Kohola Maltechad Kavodi, how dare you do a Maise Kanos? What's the difference? The difference is Pinchas asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what is the halach? What should we do? It's very Shemedrish. The Medrash says that when this event was happening in public with Zimri and Cousin, when this event was happening in public, Moshe was dumbfounded. Moshe did not know what to do. And Pinchas came forward and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, did you not teach us that in such an event, when a person does something like this, a person has the right to go ahead and to take the law into his own hands. You don't need to go to Bezin. Is this not what the halacha is? And Moshe says, Karvosa, the one, I forgot the expression of the Gemara, the one that reads the letter is the one that should carry out the act.
There's a difference also that you can never have kanoas more than one person. Once you have two people,
you're saying a new answer. You're saying a new answer. Interesting. Okay? He's saying more than one person. Okay, so no, it's an interesting answer. But the Chofetz Chaim says is over here it's explicit in Chazal that Pinchas did not act until he consulted with Moshe Rabbeinu. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, isn't the halacha that a person that does such a thing kind of unpredictable? And Moshe says, the one that remembers the halacha, the messenger, is the one who reads the letter, is the one that should carry out the verdict, should carry out the edict.
I heard that the other theory, but if he would have asked Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have said no. That's why he was.
The different Chazal, but here, but Moshe, this Chazal says that Moshe, that Pinchas, he didn't ask a shaila. He says, isn't it the halacha that the one, a person that does something like this, we have a halacha, you taught us kanayim pagimbo? Moshe says the messenger that reads the letter is the one that should carry out the edict. There's another Chazal. I think the two Chazal, they go together. There's questions, what did he say? He didn't ask him. He said, this is what we should do. Is it not correct that this is what should be done? If you would ask Moshe a shayla, then you're right. He would say no. But he was telling Moshe, I'm not asking you a shayla. I'm telling you that I know that this is what you should do. So Moshe says, you're right. Carry out the act. He did so. Whereas Shimon and Levi did not ask anyone. When you don't ask anyone, this is not an act which is praiseworthy. It is an act that is to be criticized. No bar mitzvah. They didn't do the bar mitzvah already at that point in time. This is a very powerful limud musa. The powerful limud musa from the Chofetz Chaim is there are times where there is a need to do things that are off the book. There's no question about it. We live in times when you have to do things. Well, yeah, there are things that are done that are not the run of the mill. But don't dare ever do something that you feel a mice of kanos when it's not done through the consultation, the permission, and the guidance of Talmidei Chachamim through true, not make-believe, but true Das Torah. So let's go to another idea. This idea is not a complete idea, but the question is better than the answer. So at least we'll walk away with a good question. Moshe Rabbeinu in this parasha, he is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time has come to appoint a replacement. Moshe says, Yifkor Hashem, Moshe is about to die, and he says, we need to find a replacement. Yifkor Hashem Elokei Haruchais L'chol Basar Ish Al Ho'eda, a person upon the Eda. Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, V'asher Yavon Lifnehem, V'asher Yotzim, V'asher Yiviyem, V'losia Adas Hashem Katzen Shein Lohem Royem. So Hashem says to Moshe, indeed, the time has come. I want you to appoint not your children, I want you to appoint Yehoshua. And Hashem says that you should do to Yehoshua two things. Number one, Vehamadito oso lifnei Elazar HaKohen lifnei kol hoeda vitziviso oso le'enehem. Number one, I want you to position him, I want you to appoint him. I want it to be made known that Yehoshua is not going to become the leader on his own. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to sanction, you're going to give him authority. Now, I skipped the pasuk, I'm sorry, we'll go back one critical pasuk, the entire point I'm trying to make. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach lecha, take for you, es Yehoshua bin Nun. That was the first shock. The first shock is the one that you're going to put is Yehoshua, ish asher ruach boy. And I want you to rest your hands upon him. Smichas Chachamim. The second thing I want you to do after Smichas Chachamim is Vehamadeto Oso Lefnei Elazar Hakohen Lefnei Kol Eda Vitziviso Yisrael Neim. I want you to stand him up in front of the entire Klal Yisrael, in front of Elazar, who carries the Urim, the Tumim, with whom he will consult in case he has a difficult decision to make, and in front of the entire Klal Yisrael, let them see that his appointment has been sanctioned by you and by the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'nasata v'hoitcholav, you'll give from your glory, v'chulu v'leman yishmuch v'adas b'nei Yisrael. Okay, v'chulu v'chulu. What does it say in the pasuk? Moshe Rabbeinu, he listens. V'yas Moshe kasher tzivo Hashem oso, v'yikaches Yehoshua. And take note, the order is reversed. It says, Vayamideyu lefnei Elazar HaKohen, lefnei Kol Hoeda. First, he does the Hamada. And second, Vayismoich es yodov Allah vayitzaveu. He rests both hands, Rashi says, Moli v'godosh, vayitzaveu kasher diber Hashem biyad Moshe. My high. Pasuk emphasizes twice that he did exactly what Hashem told him to do, and yet, if you read the Psukim, it's exactly what Hashem told him not to do. Hashem told him, first, it's going to be smicha. You first sit in yeshiva for 20 years, and you learn kol haTorah kula, and you get the smicha, and then you send out your resume, and then you're appointed. Moshe says, Moshe, that's smicha, then hamada. Moshe first hamada, I first give him the job. First he gets the job, and then we give him smicha. And then we're going to sit down and go through Yeridei HaShemish Rebbe Ezer, we'll go through Chumash Rashi. You know, in Volozhin, to get smicha, to get the entrance, in Yeshivas Lublin, the Meir Shapiro, the Chachmei Lublin, the entrance exam, you had to know 100 Daf Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and Chumash Rashi. To get smicha, to get in, to get into the yeshiva, you had to know 100 daf Gemara Rashi, Tosfos, Chumash Rashi. What?
200.
I heard 100. 100 daf. My great grandfather of Aaron Levine, Rav Sharaf, he was one of the testers. Not everyone can come make it all the way to the yeshiva. So if you were in Poland, so there were certain testing centers. So my great grandfather was one of the testing centers. If he accepted you, if he said, he gave you a letter that he tested you, so you got into the yeshiva. I couldn't get in. But I can tell you, my great grandfather couldn't get me in. That's for sure. To get smicha in the yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, you had to know 1,000 daf Gemara, Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and Chumash and Rashi. You hear it? You had to know Chumash and Rashi was so critical. You needed, you would test it on it when you got into the yeshiva, and you would test on Chumash Rashi when you leave the yeshiva, when you get smicha. No, it seems not. It seems you had to know Chumash Rashi. If you know 1,000 daf Gemara, if you know 1,000 daf Gemara, Gemara Rashi tells you, I guarantee you, you know Navi in your sleep. It's not possible. It's not possible to know 1,000 daf Gemara, Gemara Rashi, Tosfos, and not know Tanakh in your sleep. Not possible. Just not possible. You learn a piece of Gemara, it touches, you probably the Gemara, it touches on the whole Nach. You can't know Pshat and Gemara without knowing Nach. Not possible. But Chumash Rashi also, they want to make sure Chumash Rashi was critical. Okay, but the point of what's going on here? How come it's switched around? How do we understand this? So I think there's a little teeny detail, if you take note in the Pasuk, which makes all the difference in the world. And it's a very frightening difference. When Hashem originally tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, kach lecha, take for yourself as Yehoshua bin Nun. Now Yeshua has many names. He was originally Hoshea, then he became Yehoshua bin Nun. Sometimes he's called bin Nun. Sometimes he's called Hoshea alone. Yehoshua. Here we have a unique. That's not the point I want to make. It's Yehoshua, the son of Nun. There's the Yichus. It's not just Tam Yehoshua. Yehoshua bin Nun. He's a Miyuchas. His father was also a Talmud Chacham. Ish Asher Ruach boy. And give him smicha. And then do the hamadatoi so lifnei Elazar HaKohen, you have to stand them up, lifnei Elazar HaKohen. When Moshe Rabbeinu did what he was told to do, it says, Vayaskin Moshe Kasher Tziva Hashem Oseh Vayikaches Yehoshua. What happened to the bin Nun? How come that's missing? Now let's go back again. Let's go back and repeat what it says. One more time. Kach lecha, take Yehoshua bin Nun, Isha Sharuach Bo, Visamachto es Yodicholov, and give him smicha. The one you're giving smicha to is not Yehoshua bin Nun. When it comes to the Hamada, when you come to present him to Klal Yisrael, Vehamadita, there's a very powerful word that is added into the pasuk. Vehamadita. Oh, so him. Stand him up. Egin Yichus. No nepotism. No one should come along when you, Moshe Rabbeinu, when you go and you stand him up in front of the whole Klal Yisrael and you present him. Who is this new leader? Everyone is probably, it was a big deal. Who is going to be the replacement of Moshe Rabbeinu? There were many candidates. We can be certain of that, including Moshe Rabbeinu's own children. In fact, Chazal tell us that Moshe, he advocated on behalf of his own children. He petitioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lobbied on his own. They should be the ones that should be my success. Hashem said, no, it's going to be Yehoshua. V'hamadita also. It does not say Yehoshua bin Nun. It says also. Lifnei Elazar HaKohen, Lifnei Kol Ha'Eda. V'tzivitza also. Lifnehem. So before we go further, let's make the following point. When it comes to smicha, the emphasis is, when you give a person smicha, you're not just giving the smicha to the person. The smicha includes the person plus his traditions, his legacy. You give smicha, when you give a person smicha, you're coming to say you carry with you not just what you have accomplished. I'm giving ordination to you because of who you come from. You are hereby authorized to render halachic decisions, not just because you have mastered the topic. It's because you bring with you to the table the teachings of your father, who in turn bring with him the teachings of his father. There's a mesorah. Part of giving smicha is, I am giving koyach to your mesorah. This is a legitimate mesorah. But when it comes to being a person who is a leader, not just the matter of making halachic decisions, but being a person who has been shown as a leader, It's not just you're a leader because your father was a leader, your grandfather was a leader. To serve in the role as a leader, then you need your egen yichus. You have to deserve it. You can't be a leader because of your father, your grandfather. In other words, there are tzve dinim in being a manik. A manik is a manik because of the koyach of leadership. A manik also has a responsibility to render halacha, to teach halacha. Midina being a manik, you have to deserve it. The din of the element, the dimension of this that you're a manik, you also give over halacha to Klal Yisrael, that comes also with the nesorah of that person's family, the legacy of the family. Say dinim. Now we can have a better appreciation of Moshe Rabbeinu when he actually comes to a point of why he changed the order. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's coming to Klal Yisrael, wants to make it very clear, v'hamadita oso, and that has to happen first. Because if you first give him smicha, he's my, now I'm no gebedavar. Why am I no gebedavar? He's my Talmud. Nepotism. You know why? You know why I want that Yeshua should be the leader of Klal Yisrael? I want to guarantee that my policies endure into the next cycle, right? Like in the next administration, like you have Republicans and Democrats. The Democrat want my policies. I don't want someone to come along and dismantle all of my policies. If Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give smicha to Yehoshua first, then it's going to take away the koyach when they'll do the hamada, which demands the hamadita oiso. You've already destroyed your credentials. You bedaf will give a person that doesn't have smicha. Because when you're not giving him smicha, the male, why is he roy? He's his own man. Now that he's his own man, now I'll make him my Talmud. So the male of the Pasuk says, Vayas Moshe Kasher Tziva Hashem. I want to say a little drush. It says Kasher Tziva Hashem Oso. Simply it means like Hashem commanded him. No. Kasher Tziva Hashem regarding the word Oso. What do you mean regarding? Because originally Hashem said, V'hamadita Oso. Kasher Tziva Hashem regarding the man that you appoint a leader who has earned the right to be a manik in his own rights. And therefore this comes first. He's not my student. I didn't give him smicha. I can deny at this point, even though he was Moshe's student, I can always deny. He wasn't a good student. I never gave him smicha. He goes and he starts, we always say that student. When you have a rav that becomes, a rabbi that becomes, what's the expression? When he goes off and starts doing strange things, so all of a sudden the yeshiva starts discrediting him. We never gave him smicha. We revoke. We disown you. You hear these stories when Rabban and Rachman al Stan, they start doing strange things. Then you go back to the, how you talking? This is a product. No. We don't know from this student. We never gave him smich. We don't want to know from him. Moshe always can deny have shaykhus to this person. The Nele Vayas came Moshe Kasher Tziva Hashem regarding the Oso. And that's why it says Vayikaches Yehoshua. It doesn't make mention of Yehoshua bin Nun. Because when you're dealing with the bin Nun, that's a din in the smicha. When you give someone smicha, you're not just giving him smicha because he's your Talmud. You're also giving smicha because smicha works with tradition. You bring in the tradition of where this person comes from. No. And now that it has been established, there's no nepotism, that Yehoshua deserves to be a manik in his own right, now Moshe can proceed and do the other requirement, and now vayismoiches yadov olav, now he gives the smicha vayitzaveyu kasher, and Moshe Rabbeinu got it right nochmal twice, kasher diber Hashem yad Moshe. Moshe was clever. He knew how to be mekayim the ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way by changing the order. This is a critical good kasha. And this is an answer. I don't know if it's the answer, but this is something which definitely has to be discussed in understanding this question.
First giving it a smicha could have been done privately. This way,
I think it's all together.
After they appointed him,
it's another answer. Saying another answer. Okay, the different mahal.
What? How do you know the smicha wasn't in private? No, because he gave it after at the same time after he appointed him. He didn't put his hand on in front of him.
Who said he did it right away?
I said.
Okay, okay. Okay, let's just wind down with another interesting observation. Another observation. We have in this week's parsha, Uviyoyim, it's a very special parsha because we get an opportunity to lane what we really should be laning every single Shabbos. Every Shabbos, we should really take out a Sefer Torah and read the Psukim Uviyoyim HaShabbos Shnei Chvasim B'nei Shno Tmimim U'Shnei Yashnim Sol Tzmichu L'Hashem V'Nisko Elash Shabbos Shabbat Allah Satov V'Nisko. Really, may Iker Hadim, we should lane these two Psukim every single Shabbos and take out a separate Sefer Torah. The only reason why we do not do so is because it's only two Psukim. No, it's because they're two Psukim. Only two Psukim. It's not enough. It's not enough to take out a Sefer Torah. And to go lane other sections is not proper. They're not Shaykh to Shabbos. So therefore, we do not take out a second sefer. But this week, when you're learning Parshas Pinchas and you come across these two psukim, your mamish being mekayim what was meant to be the special chavivos for kedusha Shabbos when you learn uviyoyim haShabbos. And there's something very interesting about these two psukim. So two different commentators, they say two different things, but I think they complement one another. Two observations. Number one, Shabbos is the only one of the kabbonis, all of the kabbonis of the Moab, that it does not say the word ta'aseh or tikrivu. There is no verb. Every single one of the karbonos, you study all the karbonos, you'll see there is always the verb. You should be makriv, tik takrivu, or ta'aseh, you shall do. It doesn't say any verb in the parasha of Yom HaShabbos. With Yom HaShabbos, there are shnei chvos b'nei shno timimim, shnei esronim. What do you do with them? What do? You just let them, you put them up on the mizbeach, you let them sit there and graze on top of the mizbeach. So obviously, if the pasuk says that there are two korbanos, and in the context, every other animal in the parasha is being offered as a sacrifice, obviously from the context, they're going to be sacrificed, and there's going to be blood, and it's going to be applied to the mizbeach, and you're going to burn the fats, and you're going to burn the meat. Obviously, but it does not say the word ta'aseh. Why not? So one of the commentators says, because it's Chil Shabbos. It's Seif Kol Seif. To take the life of the animal is Chil Shabbos. So you'll tell me all the lomdis for Korbanos, it's Chutra, it's Techuya, all the lomdis of Shilas, there is no Chil Shabbos. It's true, 100%, but the Torah is very edel. The Torah is very delicate. The Torah does not want to say the word ta'aseh or the word takrivu when you're dealing with Shabbos. Shabbos, you don't do this on Shabbos. Even though it has to be done, and indeed it is done, but the Torah is edel. It doesn't say the word ta'aseh. And indeed, I saw one of the parshmen says that there's a legacy, there's a tradition that on Shabbos, the only koyachan that were allowed to be makar of the carbon talmud were zakenim. They gave it to Zakenim, Tzadikim. They knew have proven themselves their entire life that when they're sacrificing the carbon, it's 100% L'Shem Shemayim. Because if you have a Kohen, that a new young Kohen, 18 years old, just started the Avoda, whatever the age is. So whatever, that's a Levi. 20 years old. So maybe he has not perfected his Machshav, and maybe when he's doing it, he's not thinking. So if he's not thinking, L'shem Shemayim, it turns into a mundane act. There's a shtickle chil Shabbos. So the male, it has to be mamish 100% L'shem Shemayim. What? I saw this. I think I think Nifloyis. One of the Sfarim that have all these interests, I don't remember the Sefer at this moment in time. Okay, but that's not l'halacha. That's just 100% that it should not be in mashu chash of chil Shabbos. 100% l'shem Shemayim. That's one idea. Another idea I came across. How come Uviyoyim HaShabbos is the only one of all of the Korbanos in the Parsha of the Moadim that it does not say the expression L'Reach Nichoyach? There is no expression. There's no expression here. Every single one you'll find some expression around the Taich of Nachas Ruach Lufonai She'amarti V'naser Ritzoini. Everyone it says Reach Nechmaihai. What's the pshat? So I don't remember what the answer was. Shabbos itself is a Reach Nechayach.
That's where you take
That's after Shabbos is already over. It's too late. Too late. Okay, but I think the Talmud it says Reach Nichayach. There's no why. So I think there's an answer. The answer is if it doesn't say Taseh, it can't say reach nichoyach.
Goes together.
The reach nichoyach is when you fulfill, when you bring to fruition what you believe. Talk is cheap. You can sit and talk all you want and preach all you want. If you don't practice what you preach, all the talk is not worth anything. You can sit the whole day in the Beis Medrash and in the Chashev and all your kavanis of the Nitzaitzos of Kedusha, mal all the Nitzaitzos. If when you walk out of the Beis Medrash, if you're not true to who you are, to what you've learned, the ta'asa, the asiya, that is not, all of your kavan, all of your learning is not worth anything. The taich of Rashi, what does HaRashi taich the words reach nichoyach? Hashem says, nachas ruach lefonai she'amarti v'na'aso ritzoini. My will has been fulfilled. There has to be a maisa asiya. If the Torah was so delicate and did not want to say the word ta'aseh in the parsha of Yom HaShabbos for whatever reason, because of the edelkeit of the Torah not to mention any maisa chil Shabbos, even though it has to be done, there is a consequence. And the consequence is it cannot say reach nichoyach. It just goes to show how far we have to go, is that we have to be true to our hadrocha, the learning, all the learning, all things that we learn. It's not going to be a nachas ruach unless we follow through and bring our kavanos to a fulfillment, to fruition. May you all have a wonderful Shabbos Mevarchim.